Heavenly Father, we count it a great privilege, as has already been stated in your presence in prayer, Lord. Great privilege, Lord, to be here in fellowship with you and fellowship with each other, and we pray it shall be around the word. Break your word to us, Father, we pray in such a way that we will leave here changed and different people. There might be occasion of great joy and remembrance, O God. And each of us growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, Gene, if you do me a favor, we have with us a brother from Singapore. And I don't suppose we're ever going to have anybody come that distance again. His name is Peter Wan. And he's one young-looking fella. He tells me he's 39, and his wife keeps his gray hair out. I don't know if he's 39 or not, but he's a nice young fella, and I want him to come up here, and would you mind taking his picture up here? Just leave it on the same roll. Come on, Peter. And give the folk a little greeting, and he wanted afterward come up and take a picture of him sitting down on the outside so he can take it back with him. Here we are. You can talk into that, whatever. Brother Peter.
Well, God bless you. I bring you greetings from the people in Singapore. I felt that it's a privilege for me to be here. I wanted to meet Brother Vail all along, you know, after hearing his name mentioned in the prophet's message for so many years. I think way back in the 50s, he already was with Brother Graham in most of the ministry. I think the few ministers that was with him in the campaigns that he took around the United States of America. So I want to meet him personally, and I'm very glad. I expected him to be a very old man. Really. So when I saw him this morning, I said, my, well, the word must have kept him young, very young. So I think that must have been the count, and that must be it, you know. So I'm glad, and I think the people here is very privileged to have Brother Vail minister here, and I think, you know, Brother Branham speak very highly of him, you know, and I expect to be blessed this morning by the message. I already have been blessed yesterday. I listened to two of his tapes from Shalom, 17 and 18, and this morning I heard who is Melchizedek, and that was a tape I was hearing halfway when Brother Chad came and picked me up. You know, I didn't want to stop, actually. It was a very nice tape, and I was really blessed this morning. So I don't want to say too much, because basically I'm not a minister, you know. I just come to listen to the word. So I just say, God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Lord bless you. I didn't expect him to talk about me. I wanted to talk about himself. Gene, do you want to get a picture when he sits down there? And there's that brother from Norway. I didn't notice you there either. How about you, when you get, come up here and get a picture of him, will you? Attaboy. Because they can take it back, with, especially Peter. I want to take it back. Not that we're advertising anything, but hey, it may make you feel good, may make somebody back there feel good to know that you're here. We send our greetings with you to both Norway and also back to, what is Singapore? That's a good place to be from. When are you going to be from there? How about you two brothers two stand up there? Come on, brother. Both of you stand up there. That's now, we don't do this to people very often, but look, we don't have people come this far. We're flattered to have you come. We're proud. Thank you. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Now, we're on number 20 of Shalom, as far as I know. I think that's right. And we especially noted last Sunday morning that Brother Branham referred to Shalom, God's peace, as contingent with and a part of the seventh seal, according to Revelation chapter 10, 1-7, which he actually identified as that ring of angels that came down and is seen in that picture, which is thoroughly spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7-10. And you're all familiar with those scriptures. Now, specifically referring to the cloud of angels that appeared in 1963, he said, don't be weary. He was talking about that appearing, which is a part of the seventh seal, actually about two-thirds of it. He said, don't be weary, or don't give way to worry, which is based on doubts, which in turn is based on our inability to cope with the times, and know for sure you can overcome, as has been indicated by vindication. He is saying to us, be confident. Have faith. Jesus is here. Relax and be at peace. Now, we're going to go back to page 25 to read in order to come to page 26, the first paragraph. So, Brother Branham said, as I have just quoted, shalom, peace, don't be weary. Don't worry. Jesus is here. His great light has come to us, and we're thankful for it. Yes, His word, the great mystery. So what you're looking at is Revelation 10, the great mystery, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire, and His prophet, and the main trust is upon the Word, which is the conduit of the Holy Ghost, and no Word, no Holy Ghost. Now, you can understand that by the fact that the Holy Spirit moved upon the face of the deep, and God said. So, therefore, the Holy Ghost is inactive and inoperative, cannot communicate, cannot perform, is of no value until it is written or spoken, because we were in Him, then we were written, and then we became spoken. All right. Here He is today manifesting Himself, doing the same as He did then. When? When He was here in His flesh. Just the same. That's Hebrews 13 and 8, which brings together the entire Gospels to Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 12, where He comes back as the Holy Spirit to do the very same works. The never-changing God. Doing the same thing as the morning star rising. We are creatures of time. He's God of eternity. Now, that statement is very, not just descriptive, but it is a key to the prophet's message. In that, time and eternity have such a disparity of likeness, they are so different that it is like almost handing a book to a horse and saying, how about reading this? It'll do you good. In other words, a veterinary writes it and gives it to the horse. I don't care if God did write this book. Simply giving it to us is just about the same as a veterinarian writing and giving it to a horse. Fact is worse, because the horse doesn't get condemned because he can't read. But there's enough in this book that is plain and simple to make anybody begin to realize, hey, what is behind it? What is behind it? So Brother Brown is letting us know here that there is such a difference between time and eternity, mortality and immortality. You know, mortality now and immortality. So he says, we try to press ourselves. We try to make something different. Oh, this has got to be done. Remember, he knows all about it. It's going to happen. Anyhow, let him do it. Just commit yourself to Him. Now, at the time, that little juncture where eternity and time blend together, or you are about to step from time into eternity, which is mortality to immortality, there is something that you must not attempt to do, to figure, to try, and to work it out. This is something sovereign, as I've said year after year. I don't know whether I said it before Brother Branham deceased. But certainly, for about 23 solid years, if not the full 24 just coming up, I have said, either Brother Branham said it on his tapes, private conversation, which I doubt, or I got it just by listening, that if God doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. And the more you try to do it, the further you're going to miss it. So here is something that you've got to come to grips with, and in coming to grips with it, it will give us pure reconciliation to God and perfect relaxation and perfect peace. It will pass from a partial understanding of faith to a full assurance of faith. So that it is no longer faith, it is knowledge. It is no longer hope, it is knowledge. For what a man has already got, why would he hope for it? Because he's got it. The only trouble with this is, the people have failed, as they always fail, to recognize what God is doing. Do you think he recognized what God is was doing? The answer is no. Can't recognize. Now, Adam did. Now, let's not try to downgrade women because of these statements. We are talking about types. And in the type, the woman absolutely designates humanity, which is brought back to God, and the man, headship of God, which brings salvation. There is a typing here. Adam deliberately sold out, left his estate for his wife, the same as Jesus Christ did. He should not have done it. He wasn't in a position to do it. So we're looking at mankind and even sons and daughters of God, typed in Eve, who do not necessarily have an understanding, even though it's there in front of them. You're looking at something pretty tricky here. You're looking at the fact, if you want this perfect peace, you've got to know how God does things. And when you understand God does it by vindicating his presence through a prophet, the prophet being vindicated, and therefore the word that he brings is vindicated, and that word that he brings is vindicated, he has to explain it to you. So now you are at the full mercy of God, and God is rich in mercy. By grace. So Brother Branham is saying, hey, if there's one thing, don't try to figure it out. That's one thing he taught very, very strong to the church members. Don't try to put yourself in the position of a fivefold minister. I could say some things right now, but I'm going to refrain from it because it doesn't really affect us here. It goes other directions. Now listen. He said he knows all about what? What he's talking about. The light. The hour. The juncture of time. Eternity. Taking over time. Time blending into eternity. Mortality. In spite of ourselves and our condition, with the human body turned to junk because there's nothing left in the ground, and the human mind delirious and full of folly, ignorance, and insanity, which it is. That's the time and the hour in which we live. I think if we have any indication by vindication that God is going to do something for us, we ought to be the happiest people in all the world. Yes, certainly. Now, don't say this has got to be done, that's got to be done, because you're wrong. God comes on the scene and does it, just like in the days of John the Baptist. Now he said he knows all about it's going to happen. Anyhow, let him do it. Just commit yourself to him. Now, that was an outstanding warning in 1964. The same warning held good in 1965. It held good in 1985. And as the Lord tarries, it's going to hold good in 1990. And if time goes on, it still is the same word of truth because it doesn't change. Now let's start reading then over here. And I'm going to read two paragraphs. These two paragraphs are literally an end time description of the time of Abraham in Romans the 4th chapter. Look up and shine with joy of the Lord to know that you've been privileged. The privilege being your eyes have come open and you've seen this day. Not seeing this day with your eyes unopened, what privilege is that? That's no privilege. The privilege is that your eyes are open. Trust in Him for the future. See, the years, no matter how many years, you've seen Him vindicate His word in days past. He that vindicated His word in days past and made all those other things happen just exactly to the hour that we're living in, everything exactly to the seventh angel's message, that's His own message, both shown in heaven and on earth, and made it known three ways so there can be no slip up, remember. He's promised He'd come again. Hallelujah. The word will be vindicated, or that word. Now, how is the word vindicated? By coming to pass. If everything else has been vindicated, then the statement of His literal physical appearing is on the scene. God's promised word, with 2,000 years of waiting, He'll arrive on time. Now, He was 4,000 years waiting from the Garden of Eden, till He came in human flesh, born as a babe from the virgin womb. Now He's going to come back and pick us up. We'll meet Him in the air immortal. He'll arrive on time. Now, people say, well, I'm going to pray and bless God, that's going to do it. Well, bless God, it's not going to do it. See, that's what everybody's got an idea. You can do something about it. When you can't even pray to add one cubit to your stature, add one more hair to your head, or anything else, how are you trying to regulate world events? Now, most of us can't even get up in the morning without our faces falling in our coffee cup. But suddenly we're giants at prayer. Just like that poor old fellow Moore that's dead. Oh, God, send the prophet. Oh, God, send the prophet. Jesus, send the prophet. The prophet came right in, said, here I am. Sat down and had dinner. Shook the man's hand. Prayed and went off. Oh, God, send the prophet. Israel. Oh, God, send the prophet. So John the Baptist came. Oh, God, send Messiah. So He came. Lopped off the head of John, crucified Jesus, and said, oh, God, send the prophet. Oh, God, send Messiah. You think people have changed? Brother Branham said the man went out in the street, picked up the newspaper, came in, parked on the dime, and his wife said, what's new, John? He said, nothing new, just same old thing, just different people doing it. And he said, my New Year message to you is not the same old people doing the same old thing or new people doing the same old thing. He said, this is a new bride where God started to form a new bride in 1955 and they're doing something different. I like that. That's what you call a real New Year, not flipping some stupid page of a stupid calendar. He'll arrive on time, don't worry. He'll be here. Well, just a minute, He already said He was here. What's He talking about? The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, come right down here on earth, and we will meet the Lord in the air. The one that came down is right there. The one that came down is right there with the picture taken. You can do what you want. I care less what you think. But I believe the Bible, and I believe vindication. But I'm going to tell you, the man, Jesus, is still up there, and He's on the Father's throne. The one in Revelation 5 and 1 abdicated. Leaving it in the hands of a man. The man Christ Jesus, ordained of God, who went about anointed of the Spirit, doing good miracles and everything else. That same one, a man, not comatose, living, breathing, interceding, is on the throne right now. Where do these people get their ideas from? I don't know. I don't know. Who's amongst us? Same one that came down. He will be here. Now listen, as he has vindicated his word in every age, the church ages show the same thing, and the revealing of our Lord by the seventh message, and so on. God revealed it, manifested it, proved it, and he in amongst us, and in amongst us today. In other words, he's amongst us today. But he's still going to come. What's the mystery? When that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us, we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will be the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of God, the Everlasting Father, the Altogether Lovely, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, and maybe 280 more titles, names. One God. When will that happen? When we meet him in the air, he becomes incarnate to us. The body will come down to meet the one that was here in the body, that came to Paul in a pillar of fire and said, I'm Jehovah Savior, I'm Jesus. He showed himself, that's the Logos, here with us, and proved and vindicated his word, the Rhema. So will he. In other words, once it started, it will never finish until the reality we are looking for transposes everything else, or transcends, rather. Everything else through the transfiguring power of Almighty God. We do have a transposition, all right, in the rapture. There will be a millennium. There will be a millennium. The old will be young. There, in the millennium, forever and ever. Sickness will fade away. How can sickness fade away when you got a brand new body? It ain't even there. So what is sickness doing now, in spite of everything around us? It's fading away with the sweet spirit of Jesus Christ coming into the meeting. That's why I keep admonishing you people. Understand what I preach here and get it, because it's the only salvation you got. You can say what you want. Leave veil, you're tough, you're this or that. I don't care what you say. If you're not a people, listen, I'll find a people who will listen. There's a bride somewhere. That's, he said, sickness will fade. You hear what I said? How's it going to fade when the gifts, as it were, put on the shelf? When you finally run your course of the swaggerts and the Roberts, the Pentecostals, the Neo-Pentecostals, when you finally run your course. Well, I hope it's awful close we run our courses. The gifts of the Spirit, as it were, put on the shelf. The sweet Spirit of Christ come in. More and more, every sick person healed, fading away the sickness. I'll ask you a question. Is this message based upon vindication? Is this the hollow sentimentality of a very nice man called William Branham, who had a touch from God? Or is this a vindicated prophet of Revelation 10 and 7 of whom it is said concerning the one that descends, he has a shout, but the Greek tells you it is not said to be the voice of the one who descends. And Hebrews 12 says, the one from heaven speaking one more time. And how does he speak but through a prophet? The vindicated word says sickness is fading. The vindicated word says sickness is fading. Now I could be like this big mouth Marjo, who was a fraud, a fake, and a sham. And you could hear his hollow repetition and getting the Pentecostals all burning up. But I'm not going to try to jazz you up like a Roberts and an Allen and a Swaggart and anybody else. I'm going to tell you the straight word of God this morning, and let's see what we do with it. Without a scream, without a shout, without a raising of your eyebrow. It says sickness will fade. How you feeling, Aaron? Throat better by now? It faded. The back went like this, but the throat went slowly. You got a new spleen, Joe, for all you know? I don't know. Doctor said no spleen trouble. Right? And his spleen was taken out. Sickness fades. Now, I don't know if this is the case or not. You say, well, Brother Dave, you're trying to make our church that way. I'm not trying to make you anything. I'm trying to get me to see and you to see this as a vindicated prophet who said it's fading. And I'm going to stand here and say, God, let it fade in me and let it fade in you. I don't care about the world. I don't like them. They don't like me. Well, you say, Brother Dale, you're supposed to love. Love not the world. Nor the things of the world. Don't try to get me, brother, sister, caught on the barb the way the devil tried to catch Jesus. Because I think I know my Bible a little bit better than that. Maybe I don't, but at least I think I do. Sickness will fade. Away! And death will be no more. Fading is fading. Shadow is shadow. From the Garden of Eden, they faded until now. But the desert will blossom as a rose. It's happening right now. It's got to be. Brother Branham died in an accident. He had the arteries of a 16-year-old. He was plagued with a certain suffering that God let him have. The devil put it on him and God allowed it. Nothing you can do about it. Like the Apostle Paul. But you notice that John the Beloved was not plagued. He was in his 90s. He went to sleep. He had a good time. They tried to boil him in oil. It didn't work. He was too tough. You can be sick, but you can be healed. Age doesn't have a thing to do with it. Somebody who hears this message will continue to get better. Because he said sickness will fade. He didn't say it would stop. He said it would fade. And a vindicated prophet had better know the difference between breaks that fade and breaks that stop and breaks that aren't there. Ever had fading breaks? I'm putting the reverse on at this point. Oh, man, it can sure catch a knot in your stomach and a lump in your throat because you think I'm going to hit or be hit. But suddenly the squeaking and the grinding, you made it. You're lucky. All right, now listen. He's talking of a buildup. He's talking of a progression through the renewing of the mind. Now, I'm just reading what he said, and I can't help what he said. I got to believe what he said. And he said, death will be no more, and that at that time in the millennium, and it's not fading, it's gone, in the millennium, they shall build houses, they will inhabit them, they'll plant vineyards, and they will eat thereof the fruit. They will not plant and another inhabit like his son take it. His son will be living by him. Some of you people here this morning, by the grace of God, can walk into the millennium entirely with your family. Now you young people sitting here that are to puberty and what have you. You boys anxious to mess around and you girls anxious to mess with. You will not make it. Unless you're born again. You're on your own. And your temptation is no greater than my temptation or my wife's temptation. Or Pete's temptation, and his wife's temptation, or anybody else's temptation. You just got more opportunity. And you're going to get caught and go to hell with it. Because let's get this straight. I read all the accounts on AIDS. And they're doubling in America. And the colleges have just about the same percent now as the jails have. And you can't cure it. Because they mutate. For eight HIVs, you would need eight serums. And it doesn't mean they'd work. I had candida. Get this front, you people sitting here. This is the voice of judgment in the white throne. I'm going to face you shortly. I had candida. They gave me Nizoral because the junk they were giving me. Don't trust too much in natural medicines, let me tell you flat. Might not work for you. You'll be dead before they take over. I said, I'm going to have Nizoral. I would sooner die with Nizoral, my liver and my kidneys going, than going the way I'm going now. literally forced him. After one course, I felt like $1 billion. I was cured. It was licked. And it came right back. Three times in a row. Until they found the little boogers mutate. So they said 4 days on and three off. And I did it. And I got cured. You don't do that with AIDS. True spiritual sexual relationship with God. Bringing forth life is tight with men and women. You see what's happened in the natural. The same thing has happened in the spiritual. The children born in the church today are hybrids, products of filth and disgust. Not the true life of God because they've got rid of the Word. His son living by him. He'll not plant another, eat, die off somebody else, hig it. He'll live there. There'll be nothing can hurt. We'll be changed from what we are now into that glorious image of the Son of God which is immortal. What is he talking about? He's talking about the virgin born one. Who, and he's going to incarnate himself in it. God will. Years can never touch him. Age can never do anything to him. He's the immortal Son of God. So we know that we're at the end time. We're at the junction. All these things thoroughly identified. So it will be identified again. What identified? The only thing left under the seventh seal that hasn't come to pass. And this is why people who say they believe this message say the seventh seal is not open. They are stupid. It is opened. The appearing is under the seventh seal, and so is the second coming. The second coming has not taken place, but the appearing has. I don't understand people, and I'm not here to help make them understand. I care less about it. I've heard their sermons on tape. I'm fed up with them. I've got one message, word by word, what the prophet said, and believe me, he is here, and he's still coming. Because the He in the first is the Holy Spirit. The second is the virgin-born Son. God manifesting Himself in sonship at this hour, Son of Man. God is yet to manifest Himself at the wedding supper. And He'll be clothed in a human body which has been glorified, and so will we. Now, it's going to be a long, long study. But you're used to it, and so am I. So, what did Brother Van say? Hunker down in your seats and get relaxed. Fourth chapter of the book of Romans. 13th verse, for the promise that Abraham would be heir to the world, that's millennium, was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, trying to do something about it, pressing into it, this, that, and the other thing. Now, you can press in the right manner, but not the wrong manner. Pressing in the right manner is determined you're going to let God do it. But through the righteousness of faith, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. In other words, the minute you try to do something about it, you've lost the promise. I'll take that one over. Now, this is supposed to make you relax, not get nervous. But I can tell you right now, some of you are getting nervous. Why? If I gave you $1 million, or I said, I'm going to give you $1 million legal tender, and I started giving $1 million away, you'd say, hey, that guy's vindicated, he does it. Well, that's what we're looking at in Scripture. God has given us trillions of dollars worth of manifested promises, showing there's trillions by trillions waiting for us. So, all right, it was a free gift. Everything's a free gift. So what do? You believe it. So if you try to do something, except believe it, the promises are none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. The harder you try to do, the more you're going to miss it. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. In other words, God says, there is nothing you can do about it, so you don't have to try. You follow what I said? That's right. You don't have to try. Works is trying. Now, you can't possibly sin because there's no standard that says you've sinned. Brother Branham came to the little bride, you didn't even do it. Well, that's great. I can tell you one thing, that which was inside of me never wanted to do it. That's why the blood was so effective for my flesh, to make sure I'd come back under resurrection. God has sanctified the work of His hands, which was already a product and here in the earth. That's why He destroys them to destroy the earth. I'm going to tell you, there's no reverence for God anymore. Oh, there's a stupid reverence amongst the stupid Hindus. Take a little brush in case they walk on a fly or an ant. Transmigration of souls. We won't hit that this morning. There's something about wrong doctrine that brings that out in the Bible. All right, listen. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end. The promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is the law, that's the Jews, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. And William Branham came on the scene and he said, we are before the white throne right now, and it hasn't happened. But it has. If you cannot accept that fact, you are not a bride with proper thinking. Now, you strive to press into that. People don't believe this. Why, they say, hey, you know jolly well that's 1,000 miles down the road. Well, I want to tell you, the same God with the wig, the same God, 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10, the same God, Revelation chapter 1, the judge, same one is here right now. And with him is the white throne. And I'm going to tell you this, brother, sister. The next conscious act that you have concerning time will be the white throne. Because white throne deals with time, not eternity. They blended. They are one. And so when God came to Abraham, he was the God who calls things which are not as though they were, and he raises the dead. And if you cannot call things which are not as though they were, because it's been vindicated to you, you're not going to be in the resurrection. Now, come on. I'm not trying to sell you a bill of goods or lie to you, make it hard for them. You're telling you the truth. Now, I want to tell you something. It's not as hard as you think it is. All you got to do is say the prophet said it, that's it. And I'm talking about not what you live, but what you believe. And when you truly believe right, you and I will live more and more right. I keep harping to young kids and all growing up. They don't really believe. They've been taught at home. But how many kids really believe? Where is it their life? I can tell you where it's been. You've been too busy, except to bring your kids up. Same as I was. That's the trouble. Too busy making a living. What's a living? You lost their lives. Somebody lost your kids already. What happened? Will they come back? I don't know. That's up to God. But you better watch it. You better know that you're right and your children are taught right. From that point on, I don't know. I can't tell you, can't either. But you've applied that token. Look, it's all right. Who, when hope was gone, hoped on in faith? In other words, there's nothing left to expect. But he looked for it anyway, that he might become the father of many nations, because it was spoken of him, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was 100 years old, and he the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he'd promised, he was able to perform. Now let me tell you something, brother, sister. Let's look at the last verse. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now listen, Abraham was 25 years in coming to the assurance of faith. And it took the presence of God to make him come to that point. Right. Absolutely. The last church age began in 1906. The Holy Spirit began pouring forth in signs and wonders and evidence. Absolutely. Coming closer and closer to the reality of Christ in the bride. Getting ready for the prophet. The prophet to manifest for God and thereby manifest for the whole bride, because God does not communicate publicly. He communicates individually to one person, and that person communicates to the others. So, all right. Back in 1906, the last began to start. Came on the scene. Now, what was it? 27 years later, in 1933, at the river, God publicly appeared. 1933. Let's ask a question. When was William Branham born? 1909, April 6th, is that right? He was 24 years old at that particular time. When was he born again? He was born again 2 years prior to that. So, all right. Back to 1906, Pentecost started, 25 years almost to the day. What do we have? We have God appearing to William Branham in various ways, but not to the world, even previous to that, showing himself. Letting you understand this, there are certain 25-year periods that happen in history, whether we want them or not, and things come out of them. Now, it took Abraham 25 years. I don't know there's going to be 25 years after Brother Branham's death, but it could be at that period of time. I'm not going to set dates. That's not my nature, because the dates always go wrong. I'm trying to show you something here, that full persuasion came to Abraham in the 25th year, at the time of the appearing, at the time of the burning of Sodom. At that time, Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Will the righteous perish with the wicked? And God said, never, never, never. If there's only one person, that person won't perish. The assurance of faith. Now we have Brother Branham come on the scene. This is the appearing time. And in this appearing time, Brother Branham has told us this. He said, listen, this is the hour of perfect assurance. This is that hour that God's promise concerning his literal, physical coming and the millennium is here. Now, the same prophet was so imbued with his own vindication, he used two names, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. If God tells me, or that voice, that pillar of fire, that angel comes near me, and said, you go and raise Abraham Lincoln or George Washington from the dead. I will go to the graveyard and I will challenge the armies of the earth to come and see me do it, or they can shoot me down in my failure. I still have my hangnail. Well, it's getting better because I put tape on it. I'll challenge Oral Roberts, Tommy Osborne, Grant, anybody living. Just make my hangnail better. Say, thus saith the Lord, your hangnail's got to get better. And I'll laugh myself sick. And then they'll turn around and say, you did it. And I'll say, you're a liar. Because my feelings and what I do and my blasphemy has nothing to do with God. God is sovereign. You don't even know the meaning of God. Well, do you know the meaning of God this morning, brother, sister? It means sovereign, the one that God does exactly what he wants to do. And that God right there, and that is God. For that prophet came in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it never failed, not even once. Now, if the devil did it, then the kingdom of God is divided. And it's finished. Where do we stand this morning? Where is our faith? It's a perfect faith we've been handed. All right. Let's go back. We're going to take sentence number one. You know I use this just like the Bible. He says, look up and shine with joy of the Lord, or the joy of the Lord, to know that you've been privileged. Your eyes have come open, and you've seen this day. Now, there is absolutely no doubt that the opening of the eyes is according to Revelation, the 3rd chapter, where it says concerning the whole church system, bride, wise virgin, foolish virgin, believer, make believer, the whole gamut, everything in cosmos is wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and doesn't know it. So it's a spiritual condition. Absolutely. Now, he says, come to me for the eye salve. Now, I'm going to show you something here in the book of Revelation. I've told you before, but in case you forgot it, I want you to look at this. It says, and anoint thine eye with eye salve that thou mayest see. That sounds exactly as though you already have the eye salve, but you haven't been smart enough to use it. That's not true. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me, to come to me. And the coming to him is for the eye salve, and it's a poultice. A broken bread. The word of God broken to the individual formed into a poultice. It'll draw the matter out of your eyes, giving you a vision that you're able to see what is extant, what's before you, and to know it's of God. And unless you know and realize it's of God, you are still blind, if perchance God did manifest himself in his word. Now, if God did not manifest himself in his word, how did that man have in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to know. Tell me this morning, you people sitting here. You say you believe this message. Do you believe in the integrity of God? Look, I am a no good jerk. Put it down. And I admit it. Of course, don't you say that. You might get your teeth. Well, you won't. I'm just teasing you. Relax you a little bit. But listen, when it comes to integrity, my integrity is just like yours. It's not perfect. But we both got enough integrity and enough common sense and enough love of money that if anybody said Lee Vail is going to give every man, woman, and child in this building $10, or was said concerning you, and somebody came to me and said, Lee, they'll give me $10. I'd say, why? Because so-and-so said, you said it. Well, I said, I got news for you. I didn't say it, and so therefore I'll not do it. What about God? What about God? He said, ask anything in my name, and also Father will do it. One day a voice said to Brother Branham, he said, what do you need? He said, I need squirrels. How many? He said, I need three. Well, he said, you'll get them. Same man came on, and you couldn't hide if you tried. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing failed. That's integrity. That integrity means he is going to come in human flesh, mortified, immortalized, and glorified. If he's been true in the vindication, he is true in this. So that's Revelation 3:18-19. Now, based on Matthew 13, blessed are your eyes because they see, the rest do not see. Now, Brother Branham says, look up. All right. There is only one place in Scripture that I know of that specifically says, look up. That's Luke. Luke chapter 21. And it says here, 25-28. All before that, verse 24. They shall fall by the edge of the sword. It happened. Be led away and captive all nations. It happened. Jerusalem trodden down to the Gentiles. It happened. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, Jerusalem is finally free. So the times of the Gentiles are running out. So, okay. Now what does it say at that time? There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, because that's political disharmony. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in cloud with power and glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, what's the first thing begins to come to pass? Israel in its homeland. That's the key. Then what about Israel's homeland? What's it got to do with you Gentiles? Your time is running out. Now then, what's going to happen for the Gentiles? What are the Gentiles going to get out of this? Where does their joy and their consolation comes in? Well, it's right over here in Matthew, the 12th chapter. Just as plain as the nose on your face. Concerning the ministry of Jesus in verse 17. It might be fulfilled, spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He never went to the Gentiles. Oh, they say, Brother Vail, that's when Jesus comes in the form of the Holy Spirit and goes to the Gentile nations through us missionaries. Hogwash. It doesn't say that. It says he's going to do it. Now listen, he shall not strive nor cry. Neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. Till he sent forth judgment of victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. That's to the Gentiles, in the form of the Holy Spirit. Way back in the flesh, he raised his voice. He strove. He was in the streets. It's not that way anymore. It's going to come different. But he's going to come. And he came that way, and he came that way. So I don't believe that. Be my guest. I don't care. What do you got? Israel's back in the homeland. And said, so there. Now, Gene, you hear a lot of programs. Used to write in Bank Forth Work, all these guys. Dr. Dobson, all those guys. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is there a clinic called Bellmeyer or something? Clinic? Okay. Isn't it true that every single time these birds go on the air, it is Jesus plus psychiatry? You know what Peter said to the guy that tried to mix up his own religion with the Word of God for money? He said, thy money's perish with you, and I'm going to be completely vulgar like Dr. Phillips, because the word in there is to perdition. And Phillips said the word in plain English is to hell with you and your money. And that's what I say about psychiatry and the Word of God when you put them together. It is not that there are not true psychological principles in the Word of God, but where do you need a psychologist or psychiatrist? Brother Branham said that's exactly what they were doing to missionaries. He said it 25 years ago. And now they're telling everybody, come to our clinic and we can help you in 6 to 8 weeks. But on your own, you can do it in 2 to 3 years. According to these men, I shouldn't be up here because I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist. But where they're playing around the edges, I have seen the insane delivered. I have seen the dumb speak, the deaf hear, and the blind eyes come open. I've seen cancer disappear instantly. I've seen people's lives changed by a sheer word of Almighty God. I've stood and argued with the so-called psychiatrist. I was called, man met me one time, a psychiatrist. He said to my wife, your husband must be a very great psychiatrist. I'd like to meet him. And I met him, and I guess he didn't get much out of it. He doesn't rub off. The Bible mentions the sorcerer at the end time, which is the poisoner, which is the druggist. And they give you the pills, and all these doctors talk about these tranquilizers. Brother, sister, there's still something wrong with us. We are not pressing into this truth the way we should, because Brother Branham guaranteed a relaxation under the seventh seal. And the vindicated prophet Paul prophesied that when he came with those angels, we could relax. No more fear, because the judge has come. Well, let's keep reading, because we're not finished. It says, look up. Look up and shine. At this particular time of the Son of Man, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now I want to ask you a question. And let's see exactly how stupid we all are. Coming in cloud with great glory. What does that honestly mean to you and to me? Well, hallelujah. Us good old fundamental Pentecostals plus God knows what. That's some great big thing, bless God, that really stands out. Not like just a sore thumb, but every nerve in your body exposed to where one touch would send you into orbit screaming. Sensation. Or your eyes behold something, or you stand completely aghast in marvel. Oh. Seems to me you never did read Isaiah 53, did you? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He'll grow up like be formed like a tender plant. What's a tender plant? One that's not out there in the sunlight, rugged and getting all the sun and all the attention. A little thing, if you kick it over, it just seems to die on your feet. As a root out of a dry ground. What's the thing doing here anyway? Doesn't belong. And no form nor comeliness when we'll see him. And no beauty will desire him. And he's despised and rejected. But hallelujah, we're different, blessed God. You're a liar and I'm a liar and we're all liars. Could that be the cloud of glory? Well, sure it all looked like it, bless God, because the scientists at one time couldn't figure it. And now all the preachers have got it figured, hallelujah, because they said, I tell you what it was. It was a missile. And there were no missiles fired. Right, Gene, you're at the air base. We got men in this congregation that are top engineers in the services, though, in the civilian department. And they can shove the scientific truth down the lying teeth and throat of your Pentecostals, because they're the big ones, the chaff that burns. They're the sadistic, consummate liars. And the truth is not in them. They are the Jesus-only Trinitarians. You say, Bale, you're tough on them. I was one of them, so shut up. Don't talk to me about my previous family, because I got you hands down. I'm 74, and I've known him for 57 years. So you want to argue, you argue the pretty tough bird up here. You better come loaded. True. Okay. Zephaniah. Way back. Little tiny book in there. Here it is. Third chapter. Verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. That's us. Sing, O shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. You've got three appellations right in there. Speaking to the whole gamut. The Lord had taken away thy judgments. No white throne. Cast out your enemy. The devil's fully exposed. The king of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see him anymore. When and how was the king of Israel in the midst of Israel? By the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire in the temple of God. You tell me I'm wrong. Read your Bible. Go on, read it. Tell me I'm wrong. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. In that day will be said in Jerusalem, fear not unto Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he'll rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he'll joy over thee with singing. Now you've been singing that here all the time. Shall we make that our opening chorus and our closing chorus for about next 10 years? Next few weeks? Listen, Israel as a nation, Jerusalem as a city, and Zion as a bride are all here at one time. And something is going on. Do we recognize it? Now, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly. Who are of thee to whom the reproach of it was a burden? Behold, at that time I'll do unto all that afflict thee, and I will save her that held it, and gather her that was driven out, and I'll gather them with praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Now, certainly, it's not talking about Israel, the promised land. I mean, Israel back over there in the city the whole bit, but it's still talking to the bride. He's just dishing it out in three ways. Actually, two ways, but three appellations. At that time, I will bring you again, even at the time I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Two threads are woven all the way through. It's going on in the bride. It's going on there. And Brother Branham said, look up. Look up at the time this joy is going to come. Look up at the time of the revelation of the Son of Man. Look up at the time. At the time when Israel is back in Palestine and Jerusalem is controlled by them, and it is. Now listen, it's not controlled by God. Oh no, only indirectly, sovereign will. The bride is controlled by God, and she's being put under submission to God according to 1 Corinthians 15. And that ends up with you and me being transfigured from mortality to immortality. Hey, the clock only says 7:45. Man, I got 4 solid hours to preach. I think I can do it. And I won't go by this watch. It says already 12:10. Forget it. But it's going to the 22nd. So I guess we can wait. You see what I'm saying? And hear what I'm saying? Okay. Now, he says, this is the time to look up because your eyes have come open. Now, we don't have much time. Let me read my notes. The specific reference to look up is Luke 21:25-28. It's not necessarily meant to take the place of arise, but it is an admonition that once having arisen, conditions are such in a world of darkness that the one who has arisen must look up because that's where the sun is.
You don't go down in the basement and say, there's no light out there, there's no sun out there. Oh, they thought Brother Branham was making a little kind of a stupid illustration. It's not a stupid illustration. It was serious. Don't crawl back in your shell of creeds and dogmas and mythology. Start looking up where the sun is. Now, what was he talking about? He was talking particularly of a light, the day star rising, which was the vindication of Christ in our midst, bringing us the word, where Rhema and Logos was one and the same. And don't you dare sit here and try to make it any different, that they're not one and the same. Like some say, well, Rhema is this, Logos is that. There is no difference. It's simply a matter of explanation. So you'll understand more and more. Now listen. Look up. As Brother Branham said many times, I, the Lord, have planted it. I will water it, lest any man pluck it out of my hands. So look up. Now, Isaiah 61:2, that's rise and shine, for the light is coming, gross darkness upon the earth, speaks of arising, as does Matthew 25. The sleeping virgins, all 10 of them, all of them, are wakened out of their sleep. Now, remember, Paul, knowing this by revelation, says in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, listen to it, verse 14, wherefore he said, awake thou the sleepers and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It doesn't say they're dead, it says arise from amongst the dead. And when they arise from amongst the dead, they are to look up. They will see the morning star, which is Christ risen amongst us, his word being vindicated, pointing us to the reality of God. In all of these cases, we are told of gross darkness. We'll find it in there. It is self-evident that Revelation 3:14-21, it's evident from there, which is the Laodicean age, that the awakened one is awakened both to light and darkness because he doesn't know the difference. And understanding the darkness is necessary to truly understand the light. How in the world can you say, not say, I see, if you don't know you're blind? Then you're turned to light. One is not without the other, the light without darkness. For Brother Branham says that everything, he mentions everything in there. Every time he talks, he talks as light and darkness. And he mentions it in that one sentence up there. Now, I just want to review this condition of darkness that we've come to. But before I do, I want to show you the parallelism of Scripture that I spoke of last Sunday and Lloyd took up last Wednesday. Brother Branham said the Bible is a jigsaw. Why is it a jigsaw? Because passive faith and active faith run hand in hand, intermingled. Arm Calvinism, which is the grace of God, is intermingled with the works that come through grace. And people get confused. Every time there's a blessing, there's a curse. Every time there's a curse, there's a blessing. Go to the Garden of Eden. The blessing was, hey, you are joint heirs with me. You control it all. You control the animals. You control the plants. You are demigods. You, Adam and Eve, are absolutely one with me. Take it over. And he said, hold it. One thing and you're dead. Blessing and cursing. Good and evil. You can't separate it. Zion and Old Jerusalem. You can't separate them. I can prove it by Galatians. Our mother, Jerusalem, Zion, is from above. Yours is from below. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't get this clear, you're going to be mixed up till the day you die. And that'll come pretty soon. Now, I'll read the Bible without the jigsaw effect. How many minutes we got? How many? Can't even read it. Okay, it's a good place to stop for number 21. And I won't be back with you until at least a week from Wednesday. 10 to 1, I won't be back from a week from next Sunday. because I like to take a little time. It helps me so much to have taken time off. I'm going to deal with this, and I'm going to read the Bible to you, and I'm going to show you God helping me what I'm trying to get across to you. The Bible is a jigsaw puzzle. And if you don't get the parts right, you'll get confused every single time. But if you get your parts right, which the prophet came to do, you won't have any trouble. And I won't have any trouble. But we got to know how to divide the word. Now, brother, sister, the Bible distinctly says, if it is of faith, it is no longer of works. If it is works, it is no longer faith. Why are we getting mixed up this late in the day? Now, we know we didn't bring that on any more than Brother Branham did. He didn't bring that on. We didn't bring it on. He never told her what to say. We never told William Branham what to say. But we sit here as judges of the word this very hour. I'm guilty and you're guilty. Now don't tell me you're not, because you're lying if you do. That's right. But listen, sickness will fade until there's no room for it. Because like Abraham, we're changed. Not just beautiful, decadent, and rotten, corrupting mortality, to beautiful, living, youthful mortality. We are changed from corruptible into incorruptible. And it's coming. It's working now within our members. So the Lord bless you. I could say I'm sorry to take your time, be so long, but I'm not. Now my notes ready for the next time. No problem. It's all the easier. See, I'm relaxed. If you get so relaxed, brother, sister, you'll be so full of the Spirit, you can be like a drunk man who falls out of 7 stories. He doesn't seem to get hurt. But you that are sober and you're walking rigid, and I'm one of you, we fall over cigarette paper and break our ankles. I'd sooner be with a drunk man, entirely insensible to everything but my euphoria that comes from God. For the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Holy Ghost. And I can't get drunk with the Holy Ghost unless I've drunk enough word. So by the grace of God, I trust that I'll go limp one of these days. Concerning my own will, my own thoughts. And I'm going to tell you, it pays. I'm going to close by saying this. Remember, I sat under Brother Branham in 1965, December the 4th, when he preached on the rapture, and he said, the shout is the message. And I said, Brother Branham, I've heard you say many strange things, but this is too strange. I don't think I can take it. And I heard myself inside say, but when was he ever wrong? And I said, the shout is the message. If I hadn't have made that statement, you think I could take first chapter, 1 Corinthians, the way I can take it today and weave it back and forth and show you the truth? Do you think I can teach anything the prophet said unless I first of all got to give him credit that he said it has got to be true? Why is this richer and realer every time, no matter what the sermon is? Because I take it word by word, crisscross it back and forth. That doesn't make me anything. It makes him everything, God everything, and his prophet. But it makes us to know we've got our eyes open. And we don't know as we want to know. That's true. But we don't know as we used to know. Right. But praise God, we're going to know. And it's getting face to face, closer and closer, because the prophet said the negative is going to the pot. Did he say it? Then he said it. That's true. My negative is losing out to my positive. My physical old flesh is losing out to immortality. I've got a promise to live and not to die. That doesn't mean I can't die. In fact, I've got the place I'd like to have the best of both sides. You want to stick around here? Good. Be my guest. I'm going to miss a thing. Oh, man. I'll miss the lottery. Praise God, I'm going to miss it. It's like, missing a sore throat and your foot cut off. Or a baseball bat hitting you over the head. I like missing that. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for love, mercy, and grace, which has been vindicated to us at this moment. We can stand with Abraham, and indeed we have to stand with Abraham. And by grace, Lord, we do stand with Abraham. And we know, Lord, we know we do it on the grounds that, that we simply identify. And in identification, we pick up everything that he picked up, standing with it. We know that's why Brother Branham said, Paul, in reaching for the prize, look for complete identification. Oh, God, this morning, that's what we're looking for. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to produce anything, Lord. All I got to do is believe the vindicated message, believe what the prophet said, putting everything out of my mind but that. You, Lord, never let anybody pluck it out of your hand. Now, Father, we commend ourselves to you this hour, this day. Go with the dear ones that must go. Stay with us in fellowship around your word, a table whatsoever, Lord. May we have a great, wonderful time. Knowing, Father, that this psychology is all right. We can practice that out there while we eat and sit around. Just be nice to each other. And that's good. Recognize the things of the world. Their proper sphere, that's good. Understand these things. But, Lord, there is a food and a fellowship that is not psychological. It is Holy Ghost depth of eternal properties. May that, Lord, supersede everything. We know it does. But may with us it do. Now bless, Lord, the little children, especially the baby dedicated. Bless every home represented here. And, Father, bring us together, Lord, with more grace and more love of you, Lord, and more love of each other. As never before, until it can be said, behold how they love each other. That's what we're striving for, Lord. Ah, we're not striving very hard. Maybe that's true. We're not striving too hard. But, Lord, we're looking at it and we say, that's it. That's the goal. And I believe, Lord, that it's working. I believe, my God, that there's something in this building here that transcends all relationship to any human flesh whatsoever. It goes right to your love, your mercy, your grace, your word, your presence amongst us. And that binds us as one body. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.